Well, hella desire your prayers. My experience in serving the Lord, the few years that I have, I'll have to say it's been a battle. It seems like when one ends, another one starts. Sometimes it reminds me of the passage in Job. Talked about the ones bringing the news to Job that said before they quit speaking, another one came. And that's been the history of my serving for the Lord. Oh, there's been a lot of blessings. There's been a lot of times, Brother Jeff was talking about, that you just praise the Lord. He came through again. Scripture says something about the many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all.
Amen.
It got suppressing one time on us for so long that I just left the first half of that scripture out on purpose and just started quoting, and the Lord delivereth them out of them all. And the Lord delivereth them out of them all.
Yes.
But I find it is a warfare, and it's just not my saying that. The Bible says it. Scripture talks about, said something to the effect of the law was until John. In this time, every man presses his way in. Those kind of things. Scripture talks about the violent. Said that the kingdom suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Paul used in his writings the idea of warfare. The idea of the old games that they played back then, of wrestling, of fighting, of warring, of contending, striving, took action, takes effort, takes energy. It's a press, it's a fight, it's a battle. And in all of it, I think that we all want to be successful in the end of it.
Amen.
But I don't think it's always that way. In my lifetime, I've seen many people fall by the wayside. I've seen many casualties of war. Because there is so many things to contend with in the Christian race. We fight for faith, don't we? Maybe you got more than you need. But I find myself fighting for it. Lord, help me to have more faith. Help me to believe more. And when I think I've got a good hold on it, something comes that I wasn't expecting, that I didn't see it coming, and it blindsides me, and I'm sitting there worried about something. And I say, Lord, give me more faith. Help me to see it the way you're seeing it. Brother Jeff told us about a little incident that he had, delayed him 3 hours. I'm glad for the end of that story. The Lord was in it all. He always is. We just don't always see it, but he's always in it. But sometimes we can get pretty bent out of shape in the middle of it if we ain't very careful. But we fight for it, don't we? I fight for the faith. I fight for the courage. You ever get down to you felt like your courage was on a low ebb? And you didn't know what you was going to do? Have you ever felt like just tearing out the door and running? You don't even know where you're running to. Don't really know what you're running from. But just feel like running? I've hit those times. When you do, you fight for it, don't you? Lord, give us courage. Help us to face this battle that's ahead of us. Give us strength. Give us faith. Give us courage. Give us strength when you feel. You ever felt so weak you couldn't hardly, you just didn't know that you could go another day at this thing? I said to my wife recently, I said, I just sometimes feel like just throwing it all in. And she said, well, I ain't willing to quit serving the Lord. And I said, I ain't either. I ain't throwing the Lord away. But I just feel like throwing all these. What I was really saying, and it got me when I said it, what I was really saying was I need a deeper consecration. I need to throw all this worry and this over here and this over here and this building up on me here, and I got this business stuff going and this business stuff going, and this is on my mind and this is on my mind, and I'm tired of it all. I'm tired of the thought of it. But I'm fighting. Still fighting. Still see the war. But my burden tonight is that there's casualties of war. in every war, those that fight in it, when the battles really get hot, they're always wondering, is the next bullet meant for me? Is that next blast of the cannon going to get me? Is the next bullet going to get me? And then I've seen it this happen this way in my lifetime of serving the Lord. I've been shot with many bullets. I am convinced that people that deeply love me have said things that they did not mean to say. That's all I know to say about it. But it hurt. It hurt. There is casualties in this thing, folks, and I pray the Lord would help us that there's no more in here. No more casualties. When the Apostle Paul got to the end of his journey, I think you can read about it in 2 Timothy 4. When he got to the end of it, in looking back at his life, he said, I fought a good fight. Oh, what do you think he could have been wounded by? Stopped by? He could have been a casualty many times, couldn't he? Was all those that said they were brethren, was all of them faithful to Paul? No, they wasn't. There was a lot of false people in his day. There was a lot of false teachers that he had to contend with. There was false notions, much like there is today. Paul contended with it all, but he never let it come before him and the Lord. I fought a good fight. He looked at it, folks, it's the competition that he had to go through. He looked at it as his battle, his war. He looked at it, what he had to contend with. He looked at it of the faith that he had to get. He looked at these things that was through his life. When he looked back at it, he said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. The place that the Lord has given. Folks, I'm going to tell you something about God. He's got it right. He's got it right. If you love Him and you're serving Him tonight, He's got it right for your life. And you look around and say, well, this doesn't seem right. It doesn't seem, I don't want this course. This course doesn't seem right to me. He's got it right. When He looked and said, I finished the course, He didn't say my course. He said Paul's course. The course that God had given him to travel down this life, to be faithful to go to heaven with. I fought a good fight. I've finished the course. Or I'm through with it. I've seen it. And this last one is special words to me. I've kept the faith. I've kept it. Of all that I heard. Of all that I went through. Of all the disappointments. Of being in the sea. Of being shipwrecked in the sea. And every time that those that would want to gainsay me around there would say, God's forsaken ye. I kept the faith. I still believe in my Savior. I still believe that He is real. I still have faith in God. I still have courage to go on with. I can look at the end of it now and say, I look at the course that I went through and thank God by His grace I've made it to this point. I still believe. I still am right there with faith and love in my heart. You know, every one of us need to have that at the end. You might look and say, this is what I'd like to accomplish before I die. I'd like to be able to gain so much. I'd like to build maybe good ambitions. I'd like to build a chapel in every county of every state. Those are good ambitions, but I'm going to tell you a better one to have. To be able to say at the end of your course, I've kept the faith. I've kept the faith, whatever came my way, I've kept it. But I have seen, as I said, I've seen many people get wounded. Miss the idea of what it's all about. Didn't keep the faith. Didn't finish the course. Wasn't true to the end. And some of the things that I've heard before, I'll be honest with you, I have to just say, why? Do you ever hear somebody say, somebody said something? I ain't belittling you if you're one, but I don't understand it. I don't understand it for someone to say, I don't go to church anymore. I don't serve the Lord anymore because somebody said something. It don't register to hear to an experience with a loving Savior that died for my sins and gave his whole life for me, that I quit living him because of something somebody said. I've never been able to quite get that. It means more than just that. But these are casualties. I don't know if that's an excuse, if there's reality to it. I know there is offenses at times. But if you look at it tonight, as we are in a warfare for our souls, for our never dying souls, we're in a battle for that. And God has placed it in our care. My soul is continually in my hands. God, in His love and mercy, made a way for you and I to be saved. And how little it takes sometime to discard it. I want to look at a scripture in the 27th of Proverbs. In the 20th verse, it says, "Hell and destruction are never full. So the eyes of man are never satisfied." Hell and destruction are never full. What that says to me is that the system still works. The same system that started in the beginning, it still functions today just like it always did. You can't get by with anything that anybody else never got by with. If I said that right. You're not special in this plan that God has. All people are a part of this. Hell and destruction are never full. Now I hear in the news sometimes they talk about our prison systems. And they'll say, just recently out in California, they were supposed to have let a lot of people loose way early of their sentences because they didn't have room. And a lot of people that commit crimes now, they bring them up and they go through the arraignments and all those things, and then they put them on probation because there's no room in jail for them. They're all full. And there's no place to put them. Up home, we see it all the time. You can read our local paper and you'll see in there that somebody will do something that maybe is worthy of jail, but they'll fine them $25 and let them go home. The jails are full. What are you going to do with them when the jails are full? This scripture is saying that hell and destruction are never full. Hell is never full. It is always capable of taking you in. Tonight, I want to tell you, it's wide open. There's plenty of room there for you. Destruction is never full. It is just as destructive as it has ever been. It's never full. There isn't no gates of it. There's no locks on it. It's open tonight. Young people, hear me. Destruction is never full. Don't dally around in it because it's never full. There's always enough left over to destroy your life. Always. Hell's not full. Do you realize this is a sobering thought to me? There's room in hell for me. There's room in destruction in my life. I look at this in two ways. When we leave out of here, we're going to have to face eternity. But there's a life here to live that leads to that. Destroyed people go to hell. And destruction is never full. Lord, help us. What causes someone to be a casualty of war? Some people may just get grazed, and that's enough. Other people might have to be completely blown apart. But there's casualties of war. And I don't want to be one. I don't want to be one of those people that get destroyed in my life. I don't know everything, and I'll admit it. But I do know something. I know Jesus paid a real strong price for me. And I know with Him on my side, I don't have to be a casualty of war. And you don't have to be a casualty of war tonight either. Think of all of the destructive and all of the things that call destruction down through life to think about it. Think about the ages that's gone by, the wickedness and the evil that men have done. They never filled it up. I think often, because I'm kind of a study, I like to study the World War I and World War II, Civil War, those times, people. World War II especially was quite an evil time. There was so much evil going on. People were doing so many bad things to other people. There was such a fight against God and godless things and all those things. And, you know, in all of that, the systematic murders of 6 million Jews, along with every other kind of people, and bombings and murders and all that happened during that time, they didn't fill up hell. It's not full. And to think that you and I might end up in the same kind of place. Not by killing people. Not by raping and pillaging. By just turning our backs on God. The scripture says that all... How does it say that? The wicked shall be turned into hell. And all nations that forget God. It seems to me like we're living in a world that just little bit by little bit, in a country a little bit by little bit, they're chipping away at the morals, and that they're chipping away with the walls that have held us, and just slowly chipping away by law, by decree, by actions, by just those things, just chipping away at the foundations and more and more. But I tell you, it's not full. It's not full. So someone says something. So somebody makes a suggestion about something. Do you know that that has nothing to do with Christ and His salvation for you? So people do things. So things are said. So people run the wrong way. Do you know that has nothing to do with the Lord's salvation for you? Oh, I know. Somebody, you've heard me tell this story. We was in Junction City, Kentucky, one time. Brother Ivan and myself, Brother Dan, I think it was one other person, I remember right. We split up and we was out. We was having a tent meeting. We split up and we was out handing out flyers and invitation and talking to people, trying to get them to our tent meeting. And I went to this one. There was a lady sitting on a porch, and I went over and handed her a flyer and said, I'd like to invite you to the tent meeting. And oh, I appreciate that, she said, and talked a little bit. And I turned around to walk out her driveway, and this lady, I looked over to the house across the way from her, and she said, well, at the time that I got it, I felt like the Lord talked to me, and there was a real warning. As I looked over there, I hadn't felt that way all day, but I felt a real check about the place. And the woman behind me said, I wouldn't go over there if I was you. And well, that got me, because I'd already felt that. And I said, why? And she said, because they got a great big dog over there. And I said, well, is it loose? And she said, no, they keep it inside. And I thought, well, inside won't be too bad. And so I went over and went to knock on the door, got over there, and their door was open, and the screen was just the only thing that was shut. And I got over there, and about the time, I didn't knock on the door. I was just about to knock on the door, and there was a rumbling come through the house. I could hear coming through there. And I looked, and this big Rottweiler, a big one, come through there, and it didn't even stop at the door. It come through that door, blasted that screen door open, and I was a backpedaling, and the dog was going down, like it was going to bite my legs, and I'd kind of go down, and it'd back off, and we did this all the way out to her vehicle, the vehicle sitting in the yard, and I was just about to bolt up on top of that to get away from that dog, and the owner come running out, and she was excited and angry. And she was calling her dog off, and she was hollering at me. So I let things kind of do that, and she was telling me, you don't ever do that to a dog. She said, "Don't you stand still when a dog comes through." Not me. Not me. Not on that one. This lady, I said, well, the reason I came, and she said, I don't want to know why you came. So she kept on and on, and finally she talked it out, kind of. And I said, can I ask you a question? She kind of, I said, you could really help me out if you was a mind to. She was like, what? And I said, I really am interested in what I'm doing. And I'd like to know why someone like you wouldn't be interested in what I'm doing. And she said, well, since you asked me, I'll tell you. So you used to go to a church down here. She started in. She told me all about it. And if it all being true, it would be horrible. It'd been awful. It had been a terrible experience of religion. She got through with all that. I said, you know, ma'am, I probably won't ever see you again. And I said, I'd like to leave something with you. I said, whatever your experience was in religion, I want you to know it has nothing to do with the Lord's salvation and you. I said, you can be saved. You can have a relationship with the Lord for yourself that has nothing to do with this old religious world. She looked at me kind of teary-eyed and said, give me that tract. She said, can I have that? She said, I'll talk to my husband. They did not come. But I want to tell you tonight that no matter what the situations of life is, there is a remedy, folks, for the casualties of war. There is a remedy. And I'm going to tell you what the remedy is. Get a hold of the Lord with all your heart. Make Him everything to you. Let Him become who He wants to be to you. The lover of your soul. The helper of your life. He wants to become all in all. He'll lead you. He'll guide you. He'll show you Himself. Amen. You'll be thrilled. You'll be excited. You'll be more than you can know or hope for. Because He's that way. That's what He is. And then you know what happens when someone says something that hurts you? And it'll happen, folks. I'm telling you the truth. It'll happen in your life. You know what'll happen? You'll get closer to the Lord because of it. Because He cares. And when you feel that hurt, He cares about that hurt. Do you know that He came to this life and was without sin? And He suffered. The scripture says that He was tempted in all points, as you and I are. Why did He do it? So that He can feel it. From a human standpoint, Jesus feels your pain. Isn't that wonderful? When you go and say, Lord, I'm devastated. I thought they cared. I had a relationship here and it's fallen into. Guess what the Lord can say? I tread the winepress alone. That's what He can say. He can say, they called me Beelzebub. I came to loving them, to helping them, to deliver them above their own old filthy selves. And they despised me. I'm going to tell you, it gives you a different perspective on it. Then you say, Lord, help me to be an ambassador. Help me to do it the way you do it. To care the way you care. And to see this thing, folks, as a warfare that we're going to win. And you're going to have your opposition come against you. But don't look at it as people don't care. The church don't care. Get wrapped up in all these things. Look at it as this is my battle. Oh, people ain't acting right. You know what they need? A good example. That's what they need. They need somebody to show them the way. You know, many times that's the very answer. And the Lord will put you right there where you need to be. I remember a time in my life, my first wife died. I said, how could this be in the order of the Lord? I finished my course. My course had that in it. And I had to find a place of courage and of faith and of strength. and of hope in the middle of it. And we'll tell you, there was times I wasn't so sure how the outcome was going to be. But I want to be at the end of the race saying, I finished my course. The course that the Lord laid in my life, I was true to it. And I loved the Lord all the way through it. And He sustained me and He helped me and He encouraged me. I'm not a casualty of war. I've took my bullet wounds. I've took the hits. I've done those things. But I'm still standing. I'm still standing. And at the end of it, and all of them heard, maybe these kind of things don't bother you. And maybe I get involved too much with them and I don't leave them alone. But every time they come out with a new report about how some kind of evolutionary thing has been discovered, it bothers me. I just think, would you all quit that stuff? There ain't nothing to it. That's what I'm thinking. And maybe you all don't have any trouble with those kind of things, but the devil ain't doing it for nothing. He's doing it for a reason. It's an assault against people of faith. And we're going to have to battle the whole, and at the end of it, no matter what they come up with, faith is a choice that I make. I have chosen to believe in the Lord Jesus. That's my choice, and I'm going with Him all the way. No matter what they claim to discover, no matter what they say of it, I'm going to tell you why I do it, because He's real to me. Jesus has led me and guided me and helped me and spoke to me and done these acts of providence, as Brother Jeff was talking about. And I've seen Him in my life and I said, that was You, Lord. I see You. I feel You. I know You're there. Look over in about the 17th chapter of Acts, and Paul was there in a discourse about this unknown God. And what did he tell him? He's nigh unto every one of you. The terminology was in effect that even a blind, he's so close to you, he's so available to you, that if you were blind, you could grope and find Him. I'm telling you, that's accessible, isn't it? That if you were blind, you don't have to be able to see or go through a maze of activities and all this stuff. All you got to be is, if you was blind, you could grope and feel it and get it to Him, because He's that close to you. That's Him that'll keep you. That's Him that'll secure you. The second part of this scripture here in Proverbs says, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. Amazing, isn't it? God created this beautiful, wonderful garden. I don't think we could quite really get it, what it was altogether. But He put Adam and Eve in that thing. And He said, of all the trees of the garden, you may eat. Now, all to me means more than just one or two. It means there must have been a lot of trees out there. And there was only one that they were supposed to leave alone. And all these trees that made up this garden, I don't know how long it was or how deep or how wide, but it was a big garden for them to live in. And all these trees, and you can do all this and these other trees, but there's one that you're to leave alone. And don't you know, that one couldn't be left alone. It's the nature of man. His eyes are never satisfied. He's always reaching and going on and on. But hell's never full. And destruction's never full. And folks, this is where it really gets, this is where the competition really meets the most. This is where the war is really at. It's to the longing heart that longs for the world, that longs for the things that are out there. You look at Jesus' words when He told the parable of the sower. There was a sower that went forth and sowed. He sowed seeds. It was just His job, just sow. He sowed them everywhere. And you'll look and see what kind of things that rob from that. Sowed them by the wayside. Remember that? Sowed them in places that the fowls of the air came and swooped them up before they ever had a chance. In other places there was briars and things that choked it out. This is all the nature and the competition, if you will, the warfare that happens with the word. There was other places that actually come up, but it had no root. It didn't have, there was no real sincerity involved. Nothing really to get down. Nothing really worked the ground out. It was amongst stones and it couldn't really get hold of all these things. But there was a place too. In that good and honest heart. That was where the good ground was. A good and an honest heart. Jesus said in another passage, if you hate not father and mother more than me, wife, children, daughters, land, yea, your own life also. If you don't hate these things or love them less than me, it's what it's talking about, unless the Lord's first in all these things, you'll be a casualty of war. Ultimately, the end of it, you will be a casualty of war. Somewhere there will be something that will challenge your affections, and you'll lose out. Oh, many people hang on to the hollowness of a religious activity. Go to church every Sunday morning. Oh, not so much Sunday night, and rarely ever Wednesday. Or maybe I do go Sunday night and Wednesday too. Maybe I can sit in my seat, and sometimes I even raise my hand to something. But I'm going to tell you, if the Lord ain't all in all, somewhere along the line, you'll be a casualty of war. You'll lose the very essence of the whole thing. And I think that everyone here that's old enough that can understand, had an experience to understand, realizes that the solution to the problem is to love the Lord with all your heart. It changes everything. Sure, I care about the things going on around me, but it can't destroy me. You know, the Lord has never disappointed me. Not once. He never has disappointed me. Oh, there's been times I've sure wondered what's going on. But when the smoke of the battle cleared, I had to say, praise the Lord. There he is again. God did it again. He did it again. I don't know how sometimes he does what he does, but he's done it again. I look and see, sometimes I see the end of this. I see the path. I'm looking down. I see how it's got to end. I don't see how it can end in a way that's favorable or right at all. And when it's all said and done, I'm standing there saying, praise the Lord. He done it again. He worked this thing out again. I saw him right there in the middle. Again, he done it. Again, he works. He works with you and I. He helps you and I in the things of our life. He really knows what he's doing. He knows how to work with you to get the ultimate fruit out of your life. Amen. He knows. He absolutely knows. I want to tell you an experience I had just recently. Well, it was in Wisconsin back in our fall meeting up there. Got up on Sunday morning and felt like the Lord was burning me with a message. So, my little boy took sick. And so he's wanting daddy to pray for him. And he's over in the camper and service is still. He's sick. And it was just a tough place for me. I needed the Lord real bad. I told my wife after it was all said and done. I said, I wish I could be better than I am. But the Lord sure knows how to get me. And got in there to preach feeling like I was about this big and had nothing to say. And guess what? When old Marty's gone, it's amazing what the Lord will do. And I got to preaching and the Lord just turned me loose. I just felt like I was turned completely loose, and when I got through and over, and he's fine. Lord touched him right shortly after that. The Lord touched him and everything's fine. And of course it is. Of course it is. But the Lord knows how to use us and get to us. And the Lord did that there at that time. I told my wife, I said, one of these times I think I'm going to have to get my children together and just apologize to them. Because he's used that a lot of times. To get me there. To use it. And the Lord has come through over and over and over again when I didn't see how he possibly could. He did. He did it again. I mentioned my first wife when she was dying. I knew she was dying and I knew the Lord wasn't going to heal her. And I was standing in my living room. Done. I was through. I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm at my wit's end. I want to serve the Lord with all my heart. But I said, I'm through. Emotions, my nerves, my being. I told the Lord, Lord, I'm through. I'm at wit's end. If you don't do something, I'm done. And it felt like that the ceiling opened up. And the Lord just flooded me. Didn't change the circumstance. But boy, did I have the Lord on me. And I knew from that point, I can go through this. I can do this, and when it's said and done, I can testify, I've kept the faith. I've kept the faith. Folks, it can be that way with you. I hope the Lord blesses this thought to our memory. And I'm not here to lay judgment on anybody anywhere, but to lay this to your memory. God is personal. Jesus is a personal Savior that longs for you. And he's got a course for your life. I'm going to tell you, it's patterned for you. It's a perfect pattern. It's a perfect plan. It'll fit you. Some people have a lot of afflictions in life and some people don't. Some people have a lot of people problems and others don't. I haven't had a lot of afflictions. I have a lot of people problems. I have a lot of stuff. And how many times it looks impossible? I look and say, that person is so mad at me, I didn't do anything. All I did was want to help. And they're so mad at me. And I'm thinking, how do you get there? Love it. And the Lord reminded me, hey, that's the way they done me. You know, the Lord speaks in your own language. He probably wouldn't say to you, hey, but he does to me. That's my language. Hey, that's what they done to me. And here I was praying I wanted to be more like the Lord. And all of a sudden, he shows me how to be more like the Lord. You're going to suffer some persecution because I did. And you will too. And the Lord does that. And all of a sudden, they're so mad. And I'm out there and I really care. I'll be honest with you. I really care when people don't like me. I ain't going to give my salvation up about it, but I want to win them. And so I'm out there wanting to wave at them. Wave at somebody that don't like you and you can have anything happen. There'll be all kind of gestures. You never know. You're putting yourself at risk. Do you know what the Lord does over and over for me? Just now they'll start waving. Just now something will touch their life. And over I've made very special friends, close people, from enduring, from going through it, not retaliating, not doing, not being a casualty of war. Not losing it. Not giving it up. But hanging to it and saying, Lord, teach me to better be what you'd have me to be. See this lesson and say, Lord, help me here to be able to fulfill your will in this thing that's coming. Yeah, I feel like running. Sometimes I feel like fighting. Wrongly. Sometimes I have these things. But the weapons of our warfare aren't carnal. But they are mighty. They're mighty. They'll get the job done. It's something what they'll do. So I pray that the Lord would help us, that this would be just really set in your memory, that Jesus is personal, and that when I come down to the end of it, it's going to be me and Him, and me and Him. And I am responsible for you. I'm not saying that. I'm responsible for my brother. But when it comes to my experience and all that warfare that's out there, it's me and the Lord. Lord, you take my part in this battle. You fight this. Just like old David said when he fought the giant, you come with a sword and spear. I come in the name of the Lord. That's the way I come in my battles, in the name of the Lord. Lord, take this over. Help me to be what I'm supposed to be in this. Help me not to be one of those casualties of war that ends up somewhere far off. It's amazing if you wanted to look at histories. You can start in these very special songs that we sing. You know, a lot of the authors of those songs was off. I ain't to judge them. I don't know. God's personal. I don't know. But how many people have left, have given up, gone back? How many people went back just in the world? How many people have done that over almost nothing? You pray for me.